Hello guys, welcome to my channel once more. Today, before we go to my guest, my channel, Rus Geraldo, where we talk about culture, sports, and much more. Today we have a mix of cultures, and we also wanna talk about sports. So today I have a very interesting and a special guest, Stu Blackwell. Stu, welcome to the channel, brother.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing great. It's good to be here. Yeah, I know, my pleasure having you here. So we're going to talk about experiences. You have 5 years here in the DR, right?
Roughly five, a little over five.
All right, Okay. And stay tuned. So Stu, living in the DR. But before we go to the DR, who's Stu?
Stu, just a white country boy from Missouri for the most part. Born and raised in the state of Missouri in the United States, right in the heartland, as we like to call it.
All right. And a football fantasy layer, but a legend. But we're going to get there in a bit. How do you got to the DR?
Well, you know, ex-military here. So I was living in the state of Florida. Winter. It does actually get winter in Florida.
Oh, really?
It recently snowed.
It snowed in Florida. What the hell?
It snowed 9 inches in Florida. Like yesterday or the day before, yes. Snowed in Jacksonville, Jackson Beach, Pensacola. So it does get cold in Florida.
So just to get it on the record, today is Thursday, 23rd, 2025.
Yes.
January.
Okay. And it did snow in Florida.
Wow.
So that's the reason, part of the reason I came down here, because not a big fan of winter and cold weather. So I came down here on vacation in 2018, 2019, roughly, and kind of just came down here, fell in love, met my wife, to be honest with you.
Oh, cool. Love story then.
Yeah, love story.
And how was your time in the military? I don't know. I'm not used to those terms, but you were what, sergeant, tenant?
I was in the United States Air Force. I was an NCO. Yep.
Oh, you know how to drive a plane?
No, that would be a pilot.
A pilot. No. Okay. All right.
Now, everybody thinks if you're in the Air Force, you fly a plane. It's not. Or if you're in the Navy, you're in the water. There's thousands of different jobs. But yeah.
Okay. Doesn't work like that. And okay, ex-military guy living in the DR 5 years, a beautiful family. And how's it been here? You like the country besides the weather? Because what's the besides your wife, the main thing that is keeping you here, I guess.
I mean, there's a lot of things. I love, the culture here. The only bad thing I really have to say about this country is the driving. Nobody can drive here. It's like a guessing game.
You caught me drinking. I was about to jump in front, but yeah, the driving is crazy here. It is crazy.
But other than the driving, no, I love it, for the most part. Just not a real big city guy, but this is one of the, the most beautiful countries that I've been to, probably 50 to 60 countries, and this has everything from beaches to cities to mountains to everything you want here. The price of living is a lot better here than the United States.
Well, when you converting dollars into Dominican pesos, yes. And but yeah, as you said, this is a very beautiful country. Some Americans says this is a vacation country, but some of them are moving here. I mean, some Americans are moving here, like you, to live here. There are a lot of presence of Americans in Punta Cana, Samaná, and some other regions here. So. I mean, I'm some other cities, and bad traffic. That's true, but at least the weather is nice.
And some other stuff. The weather's perfect. I mean, you got like I said. You can go up to Constanza or Jarabacoa and get the fall weather. Get a little bit cool. But it's just a better quality of life here. United States, for example, let's just say you live in, Boston. I'm not from there, but
it's cold.
The place that I have here, it's a very nice penthouse. You know, there would cost me four times as much as what I pay here. You know, I couldn't afford that. I mean, I could afford it, but I wouldn't have any, you know, money left over
exactly. to live my life. It would be a lot, I mean, for a mortgage or a rent. And coincidence or not, you used to play baseball.
I did.
We're a baseball country.
Yes, very, very, very much so. Actually, one of my favorite baseball players of all time. I grew up close to St. Louis.
Let me guess, Albert Pujols.
Albert Pujols, yeah. The first game I went to was his rookie season. And
2001, if I'm not mistaken.
Fernando Tatis Sr.
Yeah.
got hurt, and I went to a game, and like his seventh or eighth game, and I said, who is this Albert Pujols guy?
Pujols.
I was like, who is this guy? He's just killing it. He's everything. He's like played left field. He started out third base, I believe, and then he went played left field, first base, but just killing it. And then now he's the manager of the
Leones del Escogido.
That team.
Yeah.
That's in the Dominican World Series.
As you said, the red team in the Dominican Republic.
The red team. But yeah, Albert was by far my favorite player until he went, moved on, and then Yadier Molina was there for so long. He's also a manager.
Yeah, here. Las Águilas Cibaeñas.
Yes.
But Cibao Eagles, mostly in English.
he's a legend, too, from, you know, baseball in St. Louis.
Yeah, people were, like, expecting or wishing, like, a Dominican World Series matchup between Yadier and Pujols, but Yadier couldn't make it. Pujols did. So it would be interesting if he can win a World Series, Dominican World Series, in his first year as a manager.
Oh, is this his first year?
Yeah, it first is his year? First year, yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. He's supposed to, if not mistaken, try to help out, him and Yadi both supposed to help out with the Cardinals organization, but I know he has this here in the winter balls, we like to call it.
Yeah, exactly. No, trust me, he's making his way to the major leagues as a manager. Maybe for the San Luis Cardinals.
He'd be better than Marmol, who is also Dominican.
Yeah, he's also Dominican.
He's also Dominican, and he's about, I think he's 2 weeks older than me. I'm 38, so he's around my age.
Well, you know what they say. I mean, I believe they say that in San Luis, according to some people, that if Pujols gets the chance, they're going to say bye-bye to Marmol.
I would take it over Ollie, because Ollie's, you know, if you can get a guy that, you know, is a Hall of Fame player managing, it doesn't always work out that way. I mean, look at Aaron Boone for the Yankees, but
exactly.
I would take him over Ollie personally. That's just me.
Okay, well, the point is that that's something that we said here in the DR before he started managing the red team, as you call it, Los Leones del Escogido.
Yeah, I can't say that word.
Yeah, people will respect him. And some young players, since, you know, they have the youth, they have some of them have the contract or at least the projection, sometimes they don't like to, let's say it this way, to take any shit from managers.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll just say, well, I'm the star. The team pay me. I mean, you are my employee, and I'm not your employee. And that recklessness, is that a word, recklessness?
Yeah, recklessness, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I know reckless, it is a word, but recklessness, first time I think I use it.
That's a word.
Yeah. Sometimes they try to jump over the managers. That happened in Major League Baseball, just to put as an example, with Don Mattingly. And
Don
the Dodgers, when Clayton Kershaw was in his prime, I would say. I remember several times he was going to the mound to take him out, and Kershaw, like, doing some body movement, like, I'm not going out of here. And that cost the Dodgers games, and that cost Kershaw's, like, arm strength. I mean,
yeah, that's true. I mean, he's probably being a prima donna, as we like to call it.
Okay.
You said Don Mattingly, correct?
The former
player, yeah. Sometimes they butt heads. But you just need a guy in the locker room that can take over and you know, the players have to play the game.
But you think?
But at the end of the day, if you don't have the camaraderie in the clubhouse, it's going to sink because exactly. You have an up and down 162 game season. That's a long, it's a long season.
It's like 6 months.
And a long, and baseball is not football or basketball or hockey. It's every day.
Exactly.
Every day.
Every day, exactly. But do you think that Marmol, is he a good manager or not? Your opinion.
In my opinion, I think we should have never got rid of Mike Schilt, who went to the Padres.
The Padres. Did something happen there?
I think a lot of it was to do with upper brass, meaning the upper management, like John Mozeliak, the Cardinals owners. I don't know exactly. Some things leaked out of the clubhouse with Randy Arozarena. I don't know if you remember him. The Cardinals traded him. We always trade our great players. You had who was in last year's World Series? I think he's Cuban. Adolis Garcia.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We traded him.
Oh yeah,
Randy Arozarena.
Both.
Yeah, they were both plus many other players. So the Cardinals always. I mean, we have the second most World Series rings with 11. The Yankees have 27, but we're the second best organization of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
Baseball's tough. It's tough to get right, you know.
It is. But I don't know. My opinion regarding Oliver Marmol, or Ollie, as you guys call him, the previous year, not last season, the other one, I think it was 2023. Yeah, 2023. You guys went to the playoffs, or was it 22?
I believe it was 20. Hell, it's been a couple of years. I think it was 20.
Pujols last season was 23.
Yeah, so it wasn't
that season because Pujols played playoffs.
So it was 2023 because we had a winning record that year. Mm-hmm. This 2024 was not a good year.
Well, and I heard, because I like to see gossips and things in social media, that you guys are planning to get rid of Arenado. It's already gone.
That's what they're saying. He has a no trade clause, so meaning he already turned down one to the Houston Astros.
Houston.
He turned down Houston because he can pick and choose where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be for the better. The Cardinals are probably going to be in a rebuild.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah,
they're probably unfortunately going to be in a rebuild. You know, they're a mid market team, so they don't spend the money like the Yankees or the Dodgers, and Dodgers defer every dollar to every player.
I mean, what are the Dodgers doing, man?
I mean,
Rob Manfred has to do something, I guess.
I hated the Yankees, you know, like for so long, and I was kind of rooting for the Dodgers. I'm not a big Yankees fan at all because they've always spent the most money, but now the Dodgers are spending the most money, so I don't like. There should be some kind of salary cap, you know, like.
Well, I think it
is. they can get fined, but like there should be a cap.
Yeah, I think so too. And look, the Mets are going to do almost something similar as the Dodgers. They are going to start spending money on players, and but baseball. I will say this, and I've played some team sports, including baseball.
Yeah.
But I think baseball is the only sport in which you can beat a team full of superstars. You can beat a team that good as the Dodgers or Yankees with a rookie team, maybe.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you remember the Marlins when they beat the Yankees? That juggernaut when they had Miguel Cabrera, Josh Beckett, AJ Burnett.
Yeah, they won World Series in 97 and 2003.
2003, yeah. The only elder there was Poch Rodriguez, which was the catcher, but then all of them, Juan Pierre, Luis Castillo, they were rookies. And I think in 97, something similar happened when they beat the Cleveland Indians, that they were stacked with Gene Tommy, Manny Ramirez, Kenny Lofton, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And they all got rookies. Gary Sheffield was there, Edgar Renteria, Moises Alou, Dominican, and, you know, the Marlins show that to the world that You just need, like, engaged players.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about baseball is anybody can beat anybody. Like,
exactly.
I mean, if you have a pitcher that shuts you out, it's hard to win. It's like Bob Gibson, the Cardinals. This was years ago, but in, I think, 1968, yeah, he was 22-9. They had to lower the mound.
Yeah,
so he had a 1.12 ERA.
Yeah.
And most of his losses were 1-0 because his offense couldn't do anything.
Exactly. That's the Bob Gibson rule. And also they put the mound a little bit farther from home plate too.
I don't know if they put it farther. I think it's I'd have to look it up. I'm pretty sure it's been 60 feet 6 inches for as long as I can remember. But okay, I know they lowered the mound.
Oh, okay.
They lowered it because, yeah, you know, 1.12 ERA, which...
That's
if you
crazy.
Don't know baseball, basically it means he was giving up one run for every 9-inning pitch.
And that and he used to pitch a lot because those years were like the years that where the pitchers, they if they start, they had to finish the game.
Yeah, for the most
part. That's why Cy Young and Al Newhouser and those guys, they go way back.
Yeah, that's I mean, you know, Cy Young has 500-something wins, but he also has 900 complete games.
That's crazy.
Or something crazy like
and
that.
He used to pitch back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Like, you want to pitch at the 1 p.m. game and 7 p.m. game.
Must have had a rubber arm on there. Yeah,
exactly. But those were those years. And then Bobby Gibson was like the president.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, start like making those rules to favor hitters. Because at the end of the day, people want to see balls flying.
Oh, yeah. You
know? Now that I say balls flying, what do you think about the steroids era in baseball?
The steroids era, that was actually my favorite time. I was there.
See a lot of people, most of them Americans, because I follow a lot of American podcasters and YouTubers, and they said they did the best for baseball.
Oh, I agree 100%. I was there for McGuire's...
And Sosa.
Yeah, well, I saw him as well, but I was there for McGuire's 67th home run, his 68th home run.
Oh, you were in the stadium?
Yes,
oh,
his
wow,
69th
nice.
Home run and his 70th home run against the Expos in 98. But I also saw Sammy Sadang Sosa in that year, too. And that was just, I was a kid, you know, at the time. I was 12, 13 years old. I would get there at 5 p.m. to go catch batting practice home run balls.
Oh, wow. Because
you could get there for BP and see Sosa hitting, see McGuire hitting, and hopefully you catch one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I was also a kid because we are almost at the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say that for both of them, and I'll include Barry Bonds in this conversation, I think they did wrong with them. Especially Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire, because when they were doing it, it was not illegal.
No.
Neither banned. As McGuire said on the Long Gone Summer documentary, that one reporter approached him, like, is it true that you are using steroids? And he said, well, I bought them over the counter in any pharmacy. I'm not buying anything like in the blood market or something. And it was not in the MLB banned substance. And then in 2005, if I'm not mistaken, they tried to like go backwards and say, hey, we didn't have this rule before, but now that we have it, let's teleport back to 97. And were you using steroids or no? And then due to their confessions, mostly, McGuire came clean early. And he said it right away because I already said it on camera. So there is no need for me to deny it now. But Sosa said, I never test positive. And, well, he lived hell for that. Okay, in my opinion, for example, steroids is steroids, right?
Steroids.
It's steroids.
Steroids.
Steroids, okay. We both play baseball. They don't make you a great player.
No, you know, the thing is with the steroids and the juice era, it's all about recovery.
Yeah,
so
recovery.
When you play 162 games, it's just so hard on your body because basically you might go 17 days in a row without a day off.
Exactly.
So
innings. Can you imagine?
And you're traveling from city to city. You might be on a 10-game road away from home. So it doesn't make you see or hit the ball, but it definitely, when you're at that level, it will definitely give you more power. But the thing You know, McGuire, his rookie year, when he was skinny, he hit 49 home runs. And even with Barry Bonds, who I think is the best player that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Exactly. I mean, he was hitting 40 before he was taking steroids.
Exactly. And my point is, I'm not like supporting the use of it, but if it was not legal but not illegal during their time, why do you have to like to go backwards and judge them? For me, it was like a shoot yourself in the feet or foot.
Yeah, shoot yourself in the foot.
Exactly. Because it was already 2005 when they opened the case.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what I think was supposed to be like the first decision is like, hey, from now on, this is illegal. Everyone using it from 2005 and above will be suspended, punished, or whatever.
Yeah.
But not opening a case. It's like, I will say, what would you do now, for example, for the person that are in jail for marijuana because it's legal now? will you release them? You know, or are you going to punish someone that is drinking alcohol because in the 50s it was illegal? Makes no sense. I mean, during the 90s era, it was not legal, but neither allowed, but it was just like, we don't know what is that.
And everybody was using it. It wasn't just them. It was, I mean, not everybody, but you had at least, I would say, 5 to 10 guys on each major league team using it.
Exactly. There were some, I think.
It was more frowned upon, but you know, let's be honest. Chicks dig the long ball. The ratings were up. People like to see home runs.
Exactly. I believe that they turned a blind eye for a huge part. Maybe that, and then when the controversy came up, which was caused, if I'm not mistaken, by other sports, like, hey, what is the baseball commissioner approving on his league? Is it true that they are using drugs to play the sport? And he got the pressure, and he started, like, I would say this way, he started, like, punishing his heroes.
Yeah.
Because, again, it was not illegal. Why you have to punish them, like, in 2005 for something that they did 10 years ago, 7 years ago? Made no sense for me. They are the heroes of baseball because maybe the youngsters don't know about it. But in '94, there was no baseball season.
That's when they had the strike.
The strike,
and that's when man, I'm drawing a brain fart right now. But somebody else was on pace to break the home run record that year, and then you had other guys going for records, and that's when the Expos were really good in 94. Mm-hmm. But they had a strike short season that year as well.
Yeah, exactly. And the baseball was in danger overall. Yeah. I mean, I remember in a documentary, I think it was the Long Gone Summer, that they did a comparison, and high school football games were like bringing more people to the stadium than major league baseball games.
So it was like going to Oakland Athletics game.
Exactly. But yeah, to answer the question that I just asked you, yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the better eras of baseball.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
one of the most interesting. And just to be clear, if a substance is illegal, it's illegal.
Yeah.
If those are the rules, okay, those are the rules. But I don't think baseball is, as people think, that baseball turns bad players into good players.
Yeah, I was reiterating, you know, like, I couldn't just go take steroids right now and go play in the majors. That's not how it works. You know, it helps some things, recovery, exactly, but like, it doesn't make you hit 700-foot home runs.
Exactly. And being honest, yeah, it is unfair because you are doing something else to your body that the other ones are not doing it, and that's why it is illegal.
Yeah, that's true.
But, well, I brought that topic because this year, Sammy Sosa and the Chicago Cubs, they make peace.
They did. They did.
He will be on the Cubs Hall of Fame.
As he should be.
Yeah, exactly. They hold that for too long. And my opinion, it was kind of unfair for him.
Oh, 100%.
But, well, it finally happened.
Well, it's good for Sammy and all the, you know, the Sammy Sosa fans. I wasn't so much a fan. I was rooting for him, you know, but Cardinals and Cubs, mm-hmm, is kind of exactly like a Yankees-Red Sox
exactly
rivalry. But, he should definitely be in the Cubs Hall of Fame. That was a crazy, the boys of summer 98. I think Sammy hit 20 home runs in June that year in 1 month, which is, that's insane. Like,
that's crazy. So, and why they call you the fantasy beast?
Oh, like, I don't know about the fantasy beast. Some, you know, it's so hard. You get in talking about fantasy football. So basically, what fantasy football is you're taking real guys from the National Football League, the NFL, you're drafting them. So say we have a team with 10 other friends, you're drafting players. And what they do in a real game is how it breaks down your scoring and how you win. But this year we opened up and did it's called a Dynasty League Superflex. So basically you keep all your players that you drafted. So for instance, I had Barkley this year, Saquon Barkley, who destroyed it. Derrick Henry, who destroyed it. There's my my top two running backs, and then I traded for Christian McCaffrey. He got hurt. I also had James Conner, AJ Brown, CD Lamb.
Oh my God, that was stacked.
Jonnu Smith was my top tight end, who had finished number four, really good. And then Baker Mayfield, top five. He was one of my super flex quarterbacks with Tua Tagovailoa and Aaron Rodgers and a couple other guys. But it was. It's a good year for fantasy. Won that one. So
you do your readings, research before drafting.
I do that. It's a lot of it comes down to luck and who can stay healthy. Like, there's always been a thing. I tell people, don't. It's the Madden curse. It comes out every year. If a player's on Madden, don't draft him. This year was Christian McCaffrey from his
49ers.
Wow. And unfortunately, he got hurt. But I also have him in my dynasty and traded for him. So I'm hoping next year he bounces back and gets back to the old Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. So I ask this question to every individual that knows about football, and it is the Brock Purdy question. There are two versions of it. Some people say that he's good because he's playing in the 49ers. Some other people say that he's just a good quarterback and he can be good in another team. What do you think about it?
No, I mean, so Kyle Shanahan is a very gifted offensive mind, probably one of the best in football. And like we talked about earlier, you know, at the end of the year, you have one winner and you have 31 losers. So it's so hard to win
a football game,
a football championship. That's why I think 10 or 12 or maybe more teams have never even won a Super Bowl. But to get back to your question, no, I think Brock Purdy would I think he would be a top 15, top 20 quarterback in any organization. Really? You know, you have 32 quarterbacks. It's hard to be. It's, in my opinion, the NFL quarterback position is by far the hardest position in sports. That's just my personal opinion.
I was in one of the shows talking with Mendoza that plays for our local team, Lobos de Santo Domingo. We both play in that team. And he said that he was doing some researches back then. And he said that it always came to five positions that are the tougher positions in any sports. Quarterback was one, cornerback, pitcher in baseball, and I don't remember the
catcher or goalie.
Yeah, maybe the goalie in hockey.
Yeah, the hockey goalie.
Yeah, hockey goalie.
And maybe a catcher in baseball.
Could be. But quarterback and cornerback were like the toughest position to play in football.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand, like, for both, because the quarterback, he has to be like looking at everything, including the other team's defense. And he has to wait until everybody completes the route, throw a perfect pass, and try to predict what the defense is playing, try to predict what your player is going to do. Everything has to happen in 5 seconds average to complete a play.
And not only that, so with the NFL especially, so in college they're over there doing hand signs and this and that. That's why some quarterbacks don't always transition to the NFL. Because I can't do it because I've, I, you know, I mean, I'll give you a version of what the coach sends in to the quarterback, and they have to repeat this to the one part has a part for the offensive line, the other's for the receiver, the other's for the protection, the blocking, the running backs, but they'll call in something like, okay, we got I-22 right, triple jet sweep, crusty cone, backbreaker, route 94. Like, and they have to relay that, and everything has a meaning on it.
Exactly, exactly.
And sometimes there's two plays in one.
Do they measure the quarterback's IQ? As individuals,
I don't know if they necessarily measure their IQ, but did you ever hear the Jamarcus Russell? I don't know if you remember him. He got drafted by the Raiders and got a crazy amount of money. I want to say it was, let's say, $50 million guaranteed as a rookie. Like, so basically, they gave him film to study at the end of practice, and there would be $100 bills at the end of the. Into the book, he never opened it. He never watched any plays. So sometimes they're taking a gamble by drafting these guys. But for the most part, if you can run an NFL quarterback, you have to be somewhat intelligent, because that's it's not easy. You can't just go out there and
exactly. And well, what do you think is going to happen this year with the Super Bowl?
Well, it's going to get interesting. So at the beginning of the year, I thought it would be the Chiefs and Lions. That's who I thought beginning of the year was going to go to the Super Bowl. Lions faltered, man. They and I love their coaches, Dan Campbell. I love his energy.
I felt so bad for him. He was almost crying on camera.
He probably was. And talking about steroids, I think he's...
Well, I mean, that's a huge guy. That's a huge,
and he's 50-some years old looking like that.
Exactly.
But it's unfortunate that they lost. But, you know... The NFL is so hard to win when you have, I think they had 4 or 5 turnovers against the Commanders.
Yeah, exactly.
And look, lost that game.
I was in one of the episodes saying something about Jared Goff, that it was like impressive at that moment. He threw 5 interceptions in one game and he won in regular season.
Yeah, which is also very impressive.
35, 32 or something like that, but he won. But that was crazy. I've been watching football less time than you, because I started on 2012 when I came to play football here in the DR. But I think I'd never seen something like that. 5 interceptions and still won the game. That's what I said at that moment. I don't know against who, but they're going to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And in the other games with the Vikings, they look like unbeatable.
Unbeatable,
and look what happened in this. They play like a completely different team. That was one of the reasons why Dan Campbell was so frustrated. It's like they had everything to compete. And you go home in the first round, you play in the playoff. I mean,
you know, sometimes those now in the NFL, you have one team from the NFC and one from the AFC that get a bye. And maybe those 2 weeks off hurt them, but I really think, in my opinion, what hurt them was, I think Goff got concussed. He got hit pretty hard early, and those 5 interceptions obviously didn't help. Commanders just played turnover-free football, which they've had. They're playing with house money right now.
Exactly, and those teams that I think they got nothing to lose, and that's why they play so relaxed. I mean, when you are the underdog, you practically start the game losing, because everybody expects, or most people expect, that you lose a game. But it was surprising, because okay, you can go without fighting. I can understand that. But go down like they went down. I'm talking about the Lions,
mm-hmm.
with against a rookie quarterback, which is very good. But I mean, Jared Goff. I mean, sometimes you think a crazy stuff, like some abstract or, I don't know, sorcery happens to Jared Goff in playoffs, because it has been happening since he was in L.A.
Yeah, like I said, at the end of the year, NFL, you got one winner, 31 losers. But I'm going to go on to predict, I guess you could say, the rest of the playoffs. I don't know about you guys, but I'm from Missouri. I'm not a bandwagon fan. I respect I respect Patrick Mahomes, but you know, Tom Brady's my guy. He's my goat.
The goat.
He's my goat, and if I don't care if Patrick Mahomes wins this year, he's still not in that conversation, not anytime soon. I think we're all tired of seeing the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. I would like to see the Bills play the Commanders personally, because the Bills never had a, they've never won a Super Bowl,
and they have lost four Super Bowls. They've been in the Super Bowl for four times, right? Four times.
At least four times. Yeah. I know it for sure, and they lost to all all four of them to the or they used to be the Washington Redskins, the Washington Commanders, Washington Redskins, and the Dallas Cowboys. They've never won a Super Bowl.
Wow. Well, my prediction beginning of the year was Bills and Lions.
That's pretty good position. It's still one of them still alive.
Exactly.
I think they're the better team. I really do. I think they're better than Kansas City.
Bills?
I think right now they're better than Kansas City.
Yeah, me too. And they beat Kansas City.
They beat them in the regular season by 10 or 12 or 14. They beat them pretty bad.
Yeah, and Josh Allen right now is playing without Stephon Diggs, which is good for him.
He doesn't have to. He's spreading the ball around to whoever he wants. Like
exactly.
And at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's not about some prima donna. Oh, I need catches. Like you're there to win the game, and he doesn't have to worry as that as a distraction right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. And James Cook, he's running the ball well. The defense is playing very good football. I think they have a good chance against the Chiefs because they are the first the first challenge they have to beat, and they go to the Super Bowl, which I don't know what else to say about the Commanders. I thought they would lose against the Buccaneers. They won.
They won.
I thought they would be like embarrassed by the Lions. It was the opposite. Yep. So I don't know. I mean, now
playing with house money. And how bad is Jalen Hurts hurt right now? You know, I know he banged up his leg. Basically, you should be thinking that defense is pretty good, but Saquon Barkley's carrying that team right now.
Exactly. No, yeah. He's and remember that he got a concussion, Jalen Hurts.
He did. Against the Commanders.
Yeah, and he missed, like, what, three games?
Mm-hmm.
And then came to play against the...
The Rams.
The Rams, yeah, exactly. And now he got hurt in one leg.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how bad that affects him on Sunday.
Exactly.
If I'm Dan Quinn
you're gonna sing a lot of blitz.
I'm blitzing, dude. Like, I mean,
and they have a good leader.
Seeing what he can do.
They have a good leader in the defense, which
is Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner. He's carrying those kids. He's keeping them calm. He's leading the pack. That's also. He's like people used to say about Patrick Willis, that he's a quarterback in the defense.
Oh, 100%. He's their quarterback. He's their captain. And, you know, that's the thing. Their defense isn't that great, but one thing that the Commanders' defense does is they do force turnovers. I mean, look what they did to Tampa in the first round, and then look what they did to Jared Goff and the Lions. Mm-hmm, so
exactly.
They give up some points, but they also – turn the ball over.
Exactly. And you think that Daniels is some sort of version of Lamar Jackson. That's what people are saying, that they play a lot similar.
I think, you know, when I was going back, which I'm so glad, you know, and everybody else is too, Patrick Mahomes didn't get drafted by the Bears, because I just feel like they have some history of just being any quarterback that goes there is terrible. But Jaden Daniels, I was like, please, Bears, don't draft him, because I thought he was the best rookie quarterback in this class, and with the second being Bo Nix, who has had a great year. But
yeah, he had a great year.
Jaden Daniels, man, the guy's just—he's been smooth. Like,
which pick was him? Which number?
Daniels was number. He was right behind Caleb Williams. So you had Caleb Williams by the Bears, and then Daniels went to the Commanders.
Okay.
But, you know, the Bears could have picked Jaden Daniels, which, in my opinion, is the better quarterback. But, you know, as far as, like, comparing him to Lamar Jackson, yeah, there's some similarities there. But I think Daniels can actually pass the ball. Like, no offense to Lamar, but he can actually set back in the pocket and be a pocket passer. And then if he has to, he can beat you outside.
Well, that will be crazy if he goes to the Super Bowl first down Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it would be crazy. It'd be something I'd like to see. I'm tired of these Eagles and Chiefs Super Bowls, so which could very well happen. But
yeah, it could. It could.
You know, but more than likely, it depends. Sometimes, you know, it depends what the NFL sometimes wants. I know.
Really? Oh, you said something funny earlier. Can you say it again?
Yeah. So basically, the NFL, it's kind of for entertainment purposes. At the end of the day, there's a lot of money gambling that goes behind it. It's kind of weird that these guys in Vegas get these point spreads and these point totals so close. So say an over under is 60 points, right? And the team wins 31-30. Okay, that's 61 points. Or the Chiefs are favored by 5, but they win by 4 points. You know, it's crazy how close they get these things. But to get back to what he was saying earlier, I mean, who knows if this is true, but you remember the Patriots were down 28-3 against
March 28th.
28-3 against the Falcons. Yeah. But, you know, there's somebody that played for the team's brother mentioned to somebody that somebody in the NFL or somebody came in and told him at halftime they can't win the game. I mean, I don't know if that's true. If they're purposely, like, throwing games, like, I don't know if I could watch it as much seriously. And I definitely couldn't gamble on it if a lot of games are actually legitimately fixed.
Well, you know, I think in those major sports, there's always, like, that type of controversy circling around. Because what happened in basketball, I haven't heard much in baseball.
Well, baseball is so hard. I mean, you had the Houston Astros cheating.
Well, yeah.
That was them, you know, banging on trash cans. Because, you know, if you know a fastball is coming, you're at that level, you're going to be able to hit it or a breaking ball. But it's hard to cheat in baseball. But football, you get refs, you get, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You have, other people deciding the course of the game, I would say, like refs, you know. And can't say it's true, as you said. No, who knows? But I mean, man, I don't know what's going on this year with the refs and Patrick Mahomes or the Chiefs overall.
They get a lot of calls. It's kind of questionable. You know, going back and you watched the game, the divisional game, the Texans versus the Chiefs this past weekend. The first one was a little questionable. It was early on. I think the Chiefs would have punted, but It was a hit to the NFL's emphasized hits to the helmet and the neck to protect the quarterbacks and not let them get hurt. But
exactly,
I think it was Anderson Jr. came up and hit Mahomes in the chest.
Exactly,
it wasn't even nowhere close to the head, so he got penalized for that, which gives the Chiefs an automatic first down. And then later in the game, another one, the two defenders came together from the Texans and missed Mahomes' helmet. Yeah. And that was also another unsportsmanlike conduct foul that gives them another first down. So it seems like they do get the calls at the right times more than other teams.
And I think he got the touchdown where he was like leaning forward and throw it to Kelsey in that play, if I'm not mistaken, in that drive, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember if it was that drive, but it very well may could have been, because they end up winning the game by 9 points. But, you know, sometimes early in the game, this affects things, because these were early in the game. Later in the game, the Texans started, you know, faltering a little bit, falling behind. They got this Chiefs sacked them 8 or 9 times. But we'll see on Sunday. I'm hoping that it's a fair shoot between the Bills and Chiefs, and may the strongest team win.
You are going for the Chiefs?
I am from Missouri, but I would personally like to see Josh Allen go to the Super Bowl this year. I'd like to see a different team. If I had to pick, I mean, it's kind of a Cinderella story. I'd like to see a veteran like Josh Allen and the Bills play the rookie Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. That's what I'd like to see.
Well, yeah, I think the Bills will win the game. I don't know about the Commanders, but again, I don't know what to say anymore.
No, I honestly don't think the Commanders will. Unless Jalen Hurts' knee is really messed up, then mm-hmm. they have a strong chance because they've already split. They played twice this year, and they split. Granted, the second game, that was when Hurts got that concussion, but they've split. Yeah. And they're a division team, so they know each other a lot.
They don't, yeah, and...
meaning they play at least twice a year.
And Dan Quinn is a great coach, very aggressive coach.
He's a very good defensive minded coach. He's a great defensive minded coach. I mean,
got that tag in the 28-3 with the Falcons, but
he's
a great coach. Which, going back to that game, I don't know why they didn't run the ball. They have two great running backs, Coleman and Freeman. So. I mean,
it's kind of questionable. It makes you think, like, was the NFL involved or what happened? I mean,
you and I know
if we play. I mean, we don't play at that level of football, but if our team's up by that many points, four scores basically, you're just gonna hand it off to the big running back.
Exactly, and they had a great quarterback, which was Matt Ryan, and they had. Two, I will say, one elite level receiver, which was Julio Jones.
Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, Mohamed Sanu, which was a great receiver.
Yeah.
And out of the sudden, they couldn't move the ball forward or keep the ball. Like,
couldn't do anything.
Wow. I mean, interesting.
28-3 in the third quarter. It goes to overtime. That's one rule. Which they have kind of changed as far as like the Super Bowl goes, but that's one rule I wish they would play just the entire quarter out instead of you get a coin toss, you win, you go down, score a touchdown, the game's over.
Yeah,
I don't like that rule. They changed it for the Super Bowl where you have a chance to rebuttal, but I still don't like that rule.
That happened with Josh Allen and Mahomes.
Yeah.
They won the coin toss. They got a field goal. They won.
It had to be a touchdown.
But when they play, it was a field goal.
Well, the other team must have possessed the ball first, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Josh Allen didn't get the chance to get the ball and do something.
Yeah.
And they changed the rule, which is good. I mean, that's a very beneficial rule for everyone. Yeah. And also, well, happened in the Super Bowl. I mean, other team you were playing against Brady and the Patriots and Belichick. Maybe Matt Ryan wouldn't done nothing if he got a chance, but at least try.
Yeah, yeah.
Same that happened with this recent play in Mark Andrews and the catch against the Bills that he missed it.
Yeah, and he missed the 2-point conversion, which it was snowy conditions and stuff like that. But it wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't just that. I mean, he did have a fumble over the middle, got stripped over. But, the quarterback, it all comes back to quarterback. Lamar Jackson, great regular season MVP.
Yeah, exactly.
But he had an interception early, a fumble early, which led to points by the other team. They were killing him on offense. They were killing the Bills.
He was not passing very well. He was not running, maybe due to the cold. But, I mean, Josh Allen was also playing in the same field. So
yeah, they ran it all. I think the Bills had 150 rushing yards. They were running it, but their offense wasn't doing that great. It's just when you win the turnover battle in the playoffs, you win.
Exactly.
3-0, you're going to 90-some percent of times you're going to win.
And me, my opinion, this is something personal. He dropped a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Meaning the game would have been
tied.
Yeah, wouldn't be tied. That's one. And two, you had four quarters to do something against a team.
Yep.
It wasn't like because of Andrews, they didn't score more points. That was their last play. They got how many snaps do you have per game?
Anywhere from 50 to 70.
Exactly. I mean, they had, let's say, 55 snaps to get more points, and they didn't.
Yeah.
You cannot blame the guy because he dropped the last pass of the game. Like, we lost because of you. And again, that was a 2-point conversion.
Yep.
The Bills wouldn't get the ball.
Yeah, like what, 90 seconds?
90 left? Seconds and all timeouts and Josh Allen with the ball on his hands.
Could at least get him in the field goal
and
range.
You have, Tyler Bass,
yeah.
Which is a great kicker with the chance of winning the game. I mean, still the odds were in favor of the Bills.
100%.
But, people, fans, supposedly, team members of the Ravens were like mad at him because he dropped the pass. But I mean, it wasn't his fault. Again, they should get more points in the other snaps, in the other quarters. Play better. I mean, Derrick Henry got only one good drive, which was the drive when he got the touchdown.
Yeah, they kind of went away from him. He had like 15, 16 rushes for 84 yards, I believe. Most of it was in the second half.
And you have to give credit to the Bills defense that they were not buying these fake runs from Lamar
the RPOs.
Henry that had worked against another team, because let's be honest, it is hard to play against that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because Lamar can run and throw, and Henry can run. And when he kind of fakes the ball or handles the ball to Henry, the defense, like, shifts. Like, we have to stop Henry. But then the guy gets the ball back and throws it or runs on the other side. It's tough to play against that.
It's very hard. I mean, that's what happened the first time they played. I think Henry had 200 rushing yards the first time they played.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult, like, to play against it, but the Bills were not buying it.
No, they
were not buying it, and they were pressuring Lamar, and they did their job. And I think the Ravens, honestly, had a better team than the Chiefs, obviously, in paper. They beat the Ravens, and they beat the Chiefs in regular season.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that Patrick Mahomes is a playoff player.
Yeah.
So let's see what's gonna happen. For me, I'll say Bills, and I don't know on the other side. Don't get me wrong. I mean the Eagles look like a better team.
Yeah.
But the Commanders, I think they are playing better than the Eagles.
Playing with house money too. So like, you know, it goes one of those things like, well, if the Commanders lose, we expected that.
Exactly.
But you know, like if they beat the Eagles, it's more, in my opinion, it's more pressure on the Eagles. They're basically playing with house money.
And they're going to play in Philadelphia. Tough crowd.
In Philly. I think the weather is supposed to be good. It's not supposed to be snowing this weekend. It's going to be a little chilly, a little cold out. But for the most part, it should be pretty good weather this weekend on Kansas City and Philadelphia.
Mm. Well, that's going to be very, very interesting. Two good matchups, and whatever goes to the Super Bowl, it will be a great matchup. Doesn't matter if it is Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Commander, Eagle, Chiefs. You know.
Yeah.
It will be interesting. It will be interesting. Jalen Daniels is having his year.
He's having a great year. I think whoever comes out of the AFC is going to win it all. That's my opinion. I think whoever wins the AFC championship is going to win the Super Bowl.
And what do you think about the draft? So what's going to happen? What's your prediction?
Oh, the NFL draft?
NFL draft this year.
Man, you know, I don't really – there's a couple quarterbacks. You got Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders out there. I don't really think they make too much noise. They're supposed to be a really, really good – they're acting like, I mean, he's the next – I don't know, maybe not Barry Sanders, but he almost broke his collegiate record. Ashton Jeanty is supposed to be pretty good, like really good. He almost broke Barry Sanders' collegiate rushing record this year.
Wow.
So the draft has a lot of it's a lot of good running backs come out of it, supposedly. And I'm rooting for a guy who I met in Daytona Beach about 4 years ago. Met him on the beach. And he had all his
here in DR?
No, in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Ah, okay.
Big old guy. Has some tattoos. I said, let me guess, you're a defensive end edge rusher, correct? He's like, yeah, how do you know? I was like, because you're built like one. And he was a freshman at Ohio State University at the time. And I said, I'll be looking out for you. And he was really respectful. He said, hey, sir, this. I was like, hey, not that old. You don't need to call me all that. But his name's Jack Sawyer. He's probably gonna be drafted in the first round. Just won a national championship for Ohio State, edge rusher.
Oh.
Had like 10 sacks this year in college. So he's a beast. About 6'5".
A top five pick, he will be the first.
I think. Well, he's a top five edge rusher, but he should be a first round.
Okay,
oh, draft then. Pick. So
and what about this Hunter guy?
Oh, Travis Hunter. I mean, Travis Hunter. You know, so the guy in college played both ways, played corner and receiver. Which,
but he's better at corner.
I would say the NFL is just so hard to be good at. He's not gonna go in the NFL and play 50 snaps on corner, 50 snaps receiver. It's impossible to do that in the NFL. Impossible. It's a different level of talent.
Exactly.
He might be able to come in like on a special package and play like a few, you know, passing plays or something. But he can't go both ways. Like, it's not like when Deion Sanders played. You know,
It's different.
Deion wasn't doing it the whole game either, but he's supposed to be special. We'll see what happens.
How's the quarterback position for the draft?
Well, you know, right now, it's looking kind of weak. You might have two guys, Shedeur Sanders, which is Deion's son, coming out of Colorado, and then Cam Ward coming out of University of Miami. He's supposed to be pretty good, but outside of them two, I don't think it's really. It's not going to be anywhere as close to good as last year's. You had, you know, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, who took over for Kirk Cousins, McCarthy, who got hurt. Who did you say?
No. I said Cousins was in the Falcons, right?
Yeah, Cousins was in the Falcons. So you had quite a few good quarterbacks last year's draft that, like, all, for the most part, the ones that wouldn't hurt besides J.J. McCarthy, they all, like, made some kind of an impact.
And yeah, talking about that drama of Cousins, what's next for him, in your opinion?
I think he's got the greatest agent to ever live because this guy made, like, he played 14 games and guaranteed like $90 or $100 million, something.
Wow,
something ridiculous. And then he gets,
I don't know how he gets that money, because
his agent.
Yeah, for I think it's, he has either two or one playoff wins.
I think it's one. He has one playoff win.
I think, and the one that he had was the miracle that Stephon Diggs did. You remember against the Saints?
Yeah. Yeah,
that the miracle. He was able to catch the ball
from Lattimore. I think it was Lattimore or somebody.
Yeah, and got a huge contract. And look, he played like BS.
Yep, his agent, man. He gets him the bag every time. But yeah, he's probably going to be cut, and they'll just roll with Penix.
Well, I heard he got mad when he got signed, and then the Falcons drafted a quarterback.
Well, it was smart. Because Penix, man, that young stud, he looks like he's gonna be a stud. So in my opinion, it was a good pick. But yeah, you could just get signed for all that money,
and then they go in
the first round and draft your replacement, basically.
Yeah. And what about Aaron Rodgers? What do you think is gonna happen to him?
Oh man, he's probably. I don't think he's gonna hang it up. I don't think he's gonna retire.
You think he's done?
I don't. I think. I don't know. I think he's too like. I think he's too stubborn. I think he's too. I don't think he wants to go out on a 5-12 record. I don't know, man. He's not. He's still a top 25 quarterback. Top 20 quarterback. I mean, I had him in my dynasty team, and he was like, and he had a great year for. Best ball is what we call it.
Yeah, I mean, not too long ago, he won the MVP. I think
2020 during COVID.
2021 or two?
I think it was 2020, 2021 COVID. Yeah, like he. So, no, I don't think he hangs it up. He retires just yet, but at least one. I don't think it'd be. He's already 41, 42, however old he is.
Brady won his last Super Bowl at 44, was it?
Something crazy, man. Yeah. He's just.
I mean, but that's another beast.
Yeah, those guys are just. Well, and he didn't tear his Achilles, you know. Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon, which is hard to come back from. Kobe Bryant as well.
Maybe that was the football gods that punished him for leaving Green Bay.
Maybe, but yeah,
there was a lot of drama with him and Green Bay. As a Niners fan, I wish he could go there at least for 1 year, maybe to serve as a mentor to whoever's going to be the Niners quarterback, because nobody knows what's going to happen with Purdy. They are supposed to either extend him or release him this year. And I mean,
if they release Purdy, I would definitely try to get Rodgers.
At least 1 year.
For 1 year under that offensive guru and that talent.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, it wouldn't be bad. I'm sure you would take him if Purdy left.
Yeah, no. I wish he could go there at least for 1 year. Yeah, because, I mean, Shanahan with that type of quarterback, and they could do, because that's what people sometimes they don't see. The coach is very important for a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Belichick and Brady got 6 rings. That's why Andy Reid and Mahomes, they already have 4.
Yep.
And that chemistry between your main player and the play caller.
They have 3. No, it's not count their 4th one yet.
No, did I say 4?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Three.
Which is still amazing in the short career that he's had.
Exactly. So, yeah, thinking, because Shanahan, the chances that he got was Garoppolo. That's the second fraud after Kirk Cousins. I don't know how he got paid by the Niners. I don't know how he got paid by the Raiders, but, well, good agents, I guess.
Maybe it's his good looks. I don't know. Something.
And then you do all the mess to get Trey Lance. Another fraud.
Yeah.
They lost. They had to give a lot to get to Trey Lance and didn't work.
Yeah.
He's now in the bench in the Cowboys. They basically gifted him to the Cowboys. And yeah, I mean you pull a golden egg out of Purdy. But to answer the question that I asked you very early in this episode, I'm 50-50. I mean, at the NFL level and do what he has done, remember that the Eagles beat the Niners because he got injured in his throwing arm.
Oh, yeah. And then McCaffrey had to come in and play quarterback.
Exactly. But then the year after, he was healthy and took them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And almost won.
Yeah, I mean.
So you have to be good.
He's a good quarterback. I mean, don't let anybody say
he might not be elite. But
I'd want him on my team, you know, like they were just so decimated by injuries this year. Their whole team got hurt. Their offensive line, their stars, like, you know, $120-130 million on Ayuk. He tore his knee up, his ACL and MCL. And, you know, Debo was hurt here and there, and then CMC.
CMC, Trent Williams.
Yeah, Trent Williams, their whole.
Ufanga, the safety.
Yeah, their whole team was banged up. So maybe they get healthy, but I think that window is closing on the superstars that they have there. You know, you can build it. You can build around Purdy, but, like, McCaffrey's getting a little older. You know, I like maybe they can keep Jennings. They got the rookie. Juwan Jennings, the Pearsall. I like him.
He's rookie Pearsall. Yeah.
So they who's the Isaac Garrido? Pretty good rookie.
I don't think they will do much for next year unless they get a good quarterback. And I don't know, they sort it out with Purdy. Either he signed a 1 year contract to get a mentor, for example, like Rodgers, and then go for the extension. I don't know.
Well, can they not franchise? Can they franchise tag him?
Purdy, I don't think so.
I'd have to look into it. I don't know if they can franchise tag him yet or not because he's coming off his rookie deal.
Well, let's see. Well, any last words to wrap it up?
Oh, man.
This is the first one. We're going to make more.
Yeah, make more. No, just, I mean, whoever your Dominican, you know, team is, hopefully they can win a World Series. I went to one of those. I went to one of those 4 years ago, and there was a guy outside that spoke English, and he was like, hey, man, I got 2, you know, World Series tickets for, like, 2,000 pesos. I was like, no, that's too much. You know, like, no. And he's like, I'm telling you, they're good. And I was like, or maybe he wanted like 3,000. I was like, dude, I'll give you $1,500. I was like, so I go in.
That's like a $30 to $28.
It's at the time it was around $30. Now it's better because my dollars went up.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot here, but so I go in and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize these seats included free Brugal rum. They were the Brugal suites, and he's like, hey man, I told you they were good seats, and I'm like, yeah, I get unlimited rum, and I'm sitting next to a guy. I say, hey, what do you do for work? He's like, oh, my family owns this. I'm sitting next to the owner of Brugal in the suite. So you wow. say that was the drunkest World Series I've ever been to, and it was in the Dominican Republic. And I've been to the World Series in the States, but I had a great time that night, man. Yeah. So go Lice or
Escogido.
Or Leon, the red team, as I like to call them, the Pujols. But I'll see you guys next time, man.
Yeah. Stu, Blackwell, guys, thank you for being here, yeah, brother.
It's a great time.
We're going to do some more episodes. This is the first one. And don't forget to subscribe, hit the bell, and like the video. We're going to bring more content like this, more stories, more fantasy tips and tricks.
Yeah, we could do that.
More football analysis and much more. Stay tuned, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.